Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you very much for this hour and for this time. Thank you, Lord, because you have opened the windows of heaven already, and we know you are going to shower abundant blessings upon everybody in Jesus' name. We're praying, oh Lord, you'll touch every heart. You'll transform every life, and you will do great wonders in every life in Jesus' name. We're praying, oh Lord, that this will be celebration indeed. Celebration for every individual. Celebration for every family. Celebration for every local church. Celebration for our country. And celebration for all the believers that are gathered together. All the nations of Africa in Jesus' name. And as this message goes beyond Africa, goes to Europe and goes to America and goes to all the places beyond Africa, we pray. Everywhere they hear the word of the Lord, there will be celebration in Jesus' name. As you are blessing us here, we pray that you bless all the people that are listening, connected with us now in Jesus' name. And those who will hear the message, view the message over the satellite, even after we finish, whatever time they're viewing and watching, we pray, Lord, you shower your blessings upon everyone. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. And you know what? When you come to a meeting like this, maybe this is your first time that we're having a privilege like this to come and worship with us and then think about freedom and talk about freedom. For me, it's like every month of this a year, I've been to different places and I've got a lot of news to tell you about celebration of freedom. Celebration of freedom. And you see, in all those nations have gone from January to this time. All the states have gone in Nigeria from January to this time. Many of them. This looks like the most fruitful year, the most blessed year, and the most progressive year. I've seen more miracles this year than, you know, some kinds of miracles that you never saw in your life. Well, you know, 1985, December, when we were at the stadium in Lagos here, and you saw the blind eyes opening, and then the lame rising up and walking, and the deaf people hearing, and the dumb speaking, and tumors going just like that at the snap of the finger. We thought we saw it all. And then I've been to many other places, I saw miracles I could not have enough time to describe to you, but this year, there'll be celebration of miracles. And we came to pack everything together. Everything that we have seen from January to this time, we came to pack everything together and then throw it at you. You will catch your own. Now, the message at this time, free and never to be bound again. Think about that. Free and never to be bound again. You see, there are many people, they get free, then they get bound, then they get free, then they get bound, then they get free, and then they get bound. It's a vicious cycle in their lives. They get up, then they come down. They get up, then they come down. They have victory, then they are defeated. They have success, then they have demotion. You see, for them, it's a vicious cycle. They move forward, and then they come back again. The kind of freedom that we want at this time, and the kind of freedom we're giving to you at this time, is to be free and never, never, never to be bound again. It will happen. I said it will happen. Healed and healthy, saved and sanctified, standing and you keep on standing, victorious, and then you remain victorious in your life, free and never to be bound again. You see, there are people, we need freedom. Number one, freedom from sin. Every form of sin in our lives. And I can show you people in the Bible and people in contemporary days, they were free from sin. Number two, free from slavery. Free from servitude. That you never become a slave anytime in your life anymore. A slave to any substance, a slave to any society, a slave to any individual. You are free. You are not a slave anymore. Free in your mind, free in your soul, free in your spirit, and free in your life. Number one, you're free from sin. Number two, you're free from slavery. Number three, you're free from self. It was Martin Luther that said many, many years ago, and said, I fear not the Pope. Neither do I fear any enemy. The greatest enemy I fear is living inside me, self. And you see, self can damage your life more than Satan. Self can damage your life more than outward human enemies. Self. But to be free from sin, and free from slavery and servitude, and to be free from self, number four, to be free from sorcery. That's no witchcraft, no sorcery, no evil power, no magic has any authority in your life anymore. Free and never to be bound again. Number five, free from secret societies. You see, there are people that they labor in life and they try to get a lot done. But secret occultic powers will not leave them alone. The powers of darkness will not allow them to make progress. If they get money, they spend all the money they have on a particular problem. It's when the problem is over, then the money has finished. And then they start gathering money again. And they start living again. And as they start living again, they gather some money together again. And then the secret societies and the magical powers and the occultic powers will come at them again. Until they finish everything they have got, the devil will not leave them alone. Free. Free from sin. Free from slavery and servitude. Free. Free from self. Free. Free from sorcery, witchcraft, occultism. Free. Free from secret society. Free. Number six, free from the snares and the spirits. The snares of the devil. You know, the devil is a hunter. A hunter. And he's a fisher. What's the difference between a hunter and a fisher? The devil is like a hunter. He hunts the lives of men and women. And then he puts snares, traps on the ground. And you will not see. And then as he puts all the snares, all the traps there, you get in. And then an evangelist comes to town. And then you are prayed for and you are delivered. And then because you don't understand, free and never to be bound again. Then you get into that trap again, into that snare again. And then as he haunts you, one day if you keep on falling into trap, getting delivered, getting bound, getting delivered, getting bound, in a vicious cycle, eventually he'll haunt you to the point you get trapped, and before the evangelist comes to town again, you are gone, you are dead, you are finished. But to be free and never to be bound again in your life. And I told you, it's a hunter and a fisher. You know, in fishing, you know, when you are hunted, when a hunter is hunting animals and shooting at them, wanting to kill them, wanting to enslave them. You know, those animals, they know and they run. And there are some people on the run, always running because something is hunting after your life. But the fisher is different. The fisher puts the hook and the bait. And the bait is a snare, but you don't recognize. Instead of running, animals run from the hunter. Fish, they go towards the fisher. The one that is fishing, the fisherman. And then you are being attracted. There is something in the enemy that is attracting you to the enemy. But the Lord wants to set us free. You'll be free. Free from sin. Free from slavery and servitude. free from sale, and free from sorcery, and free from secret societies, then free from snares and spirits. Number 7, free from Satan, is the master of them all, is the captain of them all, is a strong man, the stronghold that catches the careless, or the people that do not know the power that breaks the power of Satan. But the Lord says, he sets us free, free, and never to be bound again. In Jeremiah chapter 34, Jeremiah chapter 34, reading from verse 8. In Jeremiah chapter 34, verse 8. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, after that the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them. To proclaim, to declare liberty unto them. A covenant of freedom. A covenant of liberty. A covenant of setting all the captives free. That every man shall let his manservant, and every man his maidservant, being an Hebrew or an Hebrewess, male, female, go free, that none should serve himself of them, that is to wit of a Jew, his brother. Now, when all the princes and all the people had entered into the covenant, heard that everyone should let his manservant and everyone his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them anymore, then they obeyed and let them go. That's freedom. They set everyone free. They released everyone. And if that release, if that freedom were permanent, that would be great. That would be a desire. That would be the thing we're talking about today. But they brought them back into bondage again. In verse 11, but afterward, that's the problem. But afterward, that's the problem. Afterward, after the conference, after the retreat, after the congress, afterward, after the crusade. You see, there are many people, they don't take care of that afterward. I am free in the present time. On this very day, I am about the afterward. That's what we're interested in. I'm saved. Wonderful. I am about the afterward. After that day of salvation, I am delivered. Praise the Lord. I am about the afterward. After that deliverance, I am blessed. Praise the Lord. But I am about the afterward. After that blessing, my yokes are broken, praise the Lord, but I about the afterward. You see, many people, they don't understand. They don't think about that. They jump up, and they shout out, and they testify, and they say, see what I have got. I praise God for you. I love what you have got, but I'm looking at what you have kept. Afterward, in verse 11, but afterward, they turned and cursed the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. You see, it's the afterward. That's what interests us today. That You're free, and then you are never to be bound again. You are delivered, and never to come into subjection anymore. You are healed, and never to go back into that sickness anymore. Your sins are forgiven, and then to maintain the victory, victory over sin continually for the rest of your life. Free, and never to be bound again. I divide the message to three parts. Number one, promised freedom for true children of God. Promised freedom for true children of God. Number two, personal freedom for true children of God. Personal. This is something you have personally. We're not talking of national freedom. And you know, people that live in countries where they have national freedom, but individually, the individuals are still bound. They're not free. Not free from violence. Not free from destructive things that come into their lives. Not free from the power of Satan. But they live in a place where the nation is free. But they themselves are not free. The freest nation in the world. The nation that celebrates freedom as a nation. There's a nation that and they glory in their freedom. They said this is a free country. But individuals are not free from crime. Individuals are not free from drunkenness. Individuals are not free from disaster. Individuals are not free from all diseases that destroy them personally. And in those free countries, they still have their prisons where they go to take all these people and just dump them there. Some of them are in life imprisonment. You see, the nation being free, that's one thing. The individuals being free, that's another story. But we're talking about number two, personal freedom for true children of God. Number three, permanent freedom. That's where we're going. Permanent freedom for true children of God. Let's go to number one. Can you remind me what number one is? God bless every one of you. You know, if you say amen, the blessing of God, I've said God bless every one of you. In John chapter 8, I'm reading from verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said he to those Jews which believed, on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And then there's no full stop, there's a semicolon there. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now you need to understand, whenever you read the Bible, that the messages are given to special groups of people. First, there is a message to the generality of the people. Then out of the crowd, there are people that single out themselves. They may raise up their hands, they may stand up, or they may just sit down. In their hearts, they single themselves out, and they come out of that crowd. And now they believe every word, every statement, every promise that the Lord had made. They believed on him. And then Jesus said, it was still a crowd. Then he said now to the people in the crowd that believed on him. He said to the people in the small circle, inside a bigger circle. You know, sometimes when you hear the word of God, you might say, that's not for me. You are right. When you hear the word of God, you might say, I don't accept that. You are right. It's not for you. If it is not for you, it is not for you. If you say, that's not for me, it's not for you. Jesus said, although he was talking to the crowd, but you see, talking to that crowd, there were people that believed on him. When you have a crowd of people, and then everybody hears the same word, there are some people in their heart, they accept. There are people in their hearts, they receive. There are people in their hearts, they believe. There are people in their hearts, they say, Lord, I want a connection between me and heaven. And I know this word I'm hearing, I believe it, I accept it, I receive it. This is the connection between me and heaven. This is mine. You may be one out of the crowd. You may be 1,000 out of the crowd. You may be in your millions out of the crowd. The people that believed on him. And then it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. He didn't call them out. He didn't separate them. They were still all together. Don't be surprised. There are many, many sick people in a congregation. And then the word comes out. And there are those sick people in that congregation that believe on him. The rest of the things he does will belong to those people. There are many sinners in every congregation, especially in the crusade. And then when the word comes out, there are sinners among all the sinners that believe on him. What he does after that, what he says after that, what he proclaims after that is for those small group of people that believed on him. In a very large crowd, like in a crusade, there are many oppressed people, many tormented people. And then while they're hearing the word of God, there are some people among those oppressed, tormented, afflicted people that believe on him. What he says after that, what he declares after that, belongs to the people that believe on him. You know, sometimes if you're a preacher, you don't understand that. You're going to have a lot of problem in your ministry because you are talking to the whole crowd. And then some people believe, but the people who don't believe, they don't check out. They don't go out. They sit down there. And the actions of faith are different from the actions of unbelief. And you will see an individual in your crowd that is manifesting actions of unbelief. If you're not careful, you'll be diverted. You'll be looking at those people that have actions of unbelief. And then the rest of what you say, you'll be centering it on those people that have actions of unbelief. But why are you talking to them? They're not part of the people that the Lord is reaching at that time. As Jesus spoke, many believed on him, and then he concentrated on the people that believed on him and just overlooked the people that didn't believe. And you can decide, the choice is yours, which group you belong to. And if you say, all that they are saying, I'm not interested, I agree with you. You're not supposed to be interested because it's not addressed to you. But if you say, yes, Lord, I accept. Yes, Lord, I receive. Yes, Lord, I believe. Then the rest of what he says and the rest of what he does will come your way in Jesus' name. He said unto those Jews who believed on him, if he continue, that means they have started. They have started already. They were sitting down there. They had not even got up. They were in the crowd, in their mind, in their heart. They're already saying, that's mine. I accept that. I'm going to go with that. I'm beginning a new life in Christ. I'm going to live a different way from today than I ever lived. And Jesus said, I see you there. I know you there. I recognize you there. You have started now. If you continue. Can you tell somebody who has not started to continue? No. While they were there, they had accepted everything they heard. And then they said, we're going to live like this. And Jesus said, that's right, that's right. And I'm speaking to you, not those of you who believe. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, if the Son, therefore, capital S, if the Son, unique, if the Son, the one that came from the presence of God, if the Son, that's the one, a child is born, a son is given, that's Emmanuel, God with us. If the Son that has a power of the Almighty God that comes into your heart, into your life now, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's a promise, that's a promise. Ye shall be free, and you'll be free indeed. Matthew chapter 17 verse 26. Matthew chapter 17 verse 26 is for the children of God. For the children of God. This is not for the children of unbelief. Not for the children of disobedience. Not for the children who reject. For the children of God, the people that accept the word of God, they believe the word of God, they receive the word of God, this freedom is for them. Matthew chapter 17, verse 26. Peter said unto him, of strangers, Jesus says unto him, then are the children free. It's the children that are free, the children of God. This promised freedom that the Lord is saying, there will be total freedom, there will be complete freedom, there will be freedom in every area, every aspect of your life. Free, and free indeed. Free in your soul, free in your mind, free in your personal life. Free as you are going out, and free as you are coming in. Free in the crowd, and free when you are alone. Free in the day, and free in the night. The promise of this total comprehensive freedom is given to the children of God. Then are the children free, free from sin. Free from slavery and servitude. Free from self. That self, you know, self will limit you. When you're thinking of I, all the time, you'll not go far. You will not be able to grow wings and fly. Your potentiality will be so limited and so tied down. Your usefulness will be so limited when you are thinking of self. Me all the time. But when you let go and let God, when self is bent and crushed and conquered and crucified, when self is buried, and then a new life begins. When self is not holding you back anymore to serve, to contribute to life, and you just let go, and you're not thinking, can I do that? Should I do that? Should I give that? Should I release my talent, my life, my skill, everything I've got for the good of the community? When self is crucified and crushed and conquered and buried, then there's no limit to your usefulness. That means then the promise the Lord is giving us, the promise of freedom from sin, freedom from slavery and servitude, freedom from self, freedom from sorcery. When you are totally free, think about it. Let me ask you, what will you do. If you knew, beyond any shadow of doubt, that no witch can touch you, where would you travel to? What means of transportation will you take? If you knew beyond a shadow of doubt that no devil, no Satan, no sorcerer, no witch, no occultic power can hold you back. If you knew with beyond a shadow of doubt that no power of darkness can touch your life, that anywhere you go, up or down, to and fro, forward or the other place, that nobody on earth or in hell can ever hinder you, what will you plan to do? You'll be unlimited. And that's what we're talking about. That's the freedom we're talking about. The freedom that comes, freedom from sorcery and freedom from secret society. How will you be free? What relationship will you build if you knew that it doesn't matter where those people are coming from, and it doesn't matter what conspiracies those people have, that you can climb any mountain because you're free, free from secret society, and you're free from snares that you'll just fly over, you'll just go over. And you're free from all the spirits, and you're free from the old serpent, Satan. This is a freedom. The children are free. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, we're looking at verse 15 and verse 16. Romans 8, 15 and 16. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And that's what again. That means Roman believers, believers in Rome, you have been set free. And because you have been set free, this is free for life, free for all eternity. And it says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of that of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Then it says, the spirit beareth witness. That's the spirit of God, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you see the freedom we're talking about. No bondage again. No slavery again. That freedom belongs to the children of God. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Glorious liberty of the children of God. We're looking at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, reading from verse 25. Galatians 3, verse 25 and verse 26. Promised freedom for true children of God. But after that faith is come, we're no longer under a school master. Can you begin to think about when you were in the primary school? How free were you in the primary school? You know, your life was always all controlled by the schoolmaster. Get there at this time. Sit down in this class. Do this assignment. Go this way. Go out now. Hey, no, come back now. And then sit down. No, stand up. Go and fetch water. Everybody come back, go and cut grass. You know, your life was under control. The same thing spiritually. Well, we're under the schoolmaster. But then it says now in verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ. What freedom, what liberty we have now. We're no more under the control of the old schoolmaster. That's the kind of freedom that comes when you come out of that bondage of the schoolmaster. And we're free, you'll be free. And when that freedom comes, you're free from many, many things, free from condemnation and free from crime. I'm free from all the conspiracy that may be in your community. And whatever it is, although the enemies are still there, but they don't have power over you anymore. Satan is still there. He doesn't have power over you anymore. Sickness is running everywhere, rampage. But it doesn't touch you anymore. Only with your eyes will you behold the reward of the wicked. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at your right hand side, 11,000 altogether. Only with your eyes will you see and behold the reward of the wicked. Because you have set the Lord to be your God, and he is your habitation, you will call upon him, and he will answer. You are free. And then I'll show you my salvation, my freedom, my total deliverance. And then with long life will I satisfy him. That's freedom. When the Lord sets you free like that, nothing can hold you down anymore. He releases you into his power. Nothing will be able to hold you down anymore in Jesus' name. You dream big dreams and you'll fulfill your dreams. You will have an horizon before you. And you know when you have that horizon before you, I want you to look at the life of an eagle. It's like an eagle looking far away. And he says, I'm going to get that thing. And he doesn't crawl on the ground for all the snakes to disturb her. He flies up. And then in the air, that eagle is free. There's nothing to tie you down. There's nothing to hold you back. There's nothing to impede your journey. There is nothing to set you back. And then that eagle flies and straight, it goes to the destination he planned, he envisioned in his mind. You will fly like the eagle. You know, when you are set free, that's the promise of the Lord. The promise of the Lord that says, you are free. We're free in Jesus' name. And you know, if that's your dream, if that's your desire, if that's your vision, if you say, in this single life, I want to get something done. In this single life, I want to get something done. I don't want anything to hold me back. You know, sometimes when we talk about sin, people don't understand how sin holds them back. Let's say, for example, you had a great, great vision. And you wanted to achieve something tremendous and marvelous and great. All of a sudden, while you're having that great, big dream, you fell into a shameful sin. Very shameful. And then it comes out into the open. The shame. The reproach. It binds you. You're not free anymore when you have sinned. And when people know that in particular, you turn this side. If two people are talking together and they are laughing, say they are talking about me, you come out of that place, you go and hide. Sin limits your life. But when you're free from sin, and then you can say like Jesus, which of you convinces me, condemns me, convicts me of sin? Which of you can point to anything? And you're free in your soul, and free in your mind, and free in your heart, and free in your life, and free in your family, and free in society. And you turn anywhere, you do everything you want to do, no condemnation at all. I'm telling you, that is freedom. And we're going to get that freedom. When you're free, that's the promise of God. They've promised freedom to the children of God. I come to point number two. What's point number two? Can you remind me? Personal freedom for true children of God. We're not talking of theoretical freedom. You know, there are people that talk of something in theory. And it's never a personal possession. And it's not a practical thing in their lives. We're not talking about, you know, something that you can just read about. And we're not talking about something that you just say, I heard, they said, this is personal. We're not talking of just a picture. You know, many people may carry about the picture of a car, and they don't own a car. How many people can carry about the picture of a beautiful house, of a wonderful house, and they don't have the house? How many people can carry about the picture of a, you know, of a particular industry, machinery, company, and they just have picture, but they don't have anyone? But we're talking of something in your personal possession, and you can say, my freedom is not theoretical, my freedom is not something I'm reading about in a book, my freedom is not just a verse of scripture. That verse of scripture has jumped out and has come into my heart. Now I can say I have personal freedom through the blood of the Lamb. Freedom of true children of God. You don't want to have a theoretical wife. Have your own wife. You don't want to have a theoretical husband. Just know about all the verses of the Bible, you know, about husband. You want to have your own husband. You don't want to talk about theoretical money. Just know the references of the Bible about money. You want to have the money in your hand. You don't want to have a just radical job. You know, job, work, employment. You want to have the job and say, this is my job. You don't want to have a theoretical prosperity. You want to say, I am prospered. I have personal hold on prosperity. That's what we're talking about, the freedom. The freedom that is not theoretical. Just know about it in the head. The freedom that you possess. Personal wisdom. Personal freedom. We're looking at this in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to verse 4. Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. The law of the Spirit is the principle of the Spirit, is the power of the Spirit, is the operation of the Spirit of God. The law, the principle, the power, the operation of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me. That's the personal beat of it. It's not as has made us, has made them, has made the church in Jerusalem, has made the church in Philippi free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, there are people that spent all their lives in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. That's where they spent all their lives. They do not have a taste of personal freedom. They talk like a slave. They talk like a prisoner. They talk like somebody in bondage. What's their language? Chapter 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. That's the language of a prisoner. The clothes I wear, that's not my choice. The clothing of the prisoner. The work I wake up in the morning to do, I don't do it with joy. That's not the work I choose. The work of the prisoner. And the places they drag us to, they chain us together, we prisoners, and then they drag us there. And he said, cut this grass. I do it, but I don't like it. It's the work of a prisoner. The place I live. And they just put us in there, four corners, no good ventilation. That's all they can give to the prisoner. The place I live, I don't like it. It's the place of a prisoner. The things they give us to eat and drink, in the prison. He's saying, I don't like it. What I wish that I do not. I am imprisoned here. This is the language of a prisoner. It's not free. Verse 16, if then I do that I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. That's where many churchgoers, they think they are Christians, but they're just churchgoers. You know, if you are not free, you are not a child of God, free from sin, free from adultery, free from the fornication, free from crime, free from breaking the law, free from beating your wife, free from wickedness and violence, free from destructive things around you. If you're not free from making beautiful things ugly, that's not a child of God. The child of God has come out of Romans chapter 7. And he says, now, don't you see that Romans chapter 7, there is therefore now. We're no more in chapter 7. We're no more in bondage. We're no more prisoners. We're no more slaves. We're no more in slavery. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation. There was condemnation in chapter 7. And if you are living in chapter 7 of Romans, there is condemnation. If the things you ought not to do, you are doing, there is condemnation. If you are living in sin and you are a slave to sin, there is condemnation. If you are living in fornication, how can you tell the father of that girl? You know, the father came, the father and the mother, they just came to your house and they are dragging their daughter. And they're saying, young man, come on here. Have you seen this lady before? Yes. Our daughter told us that you messed her up. You raped her. Now we're going to take Israel with you. If you don't confess, then on your knees you go. I'm sorry. Yes, I did. You committed fornication with that lady, with that girl. And then you say, yes, I did. And then the father is almost going to tear you apart. Then you say, wait, I have no condemnation. Can you say that? Fornicators have condemnation. Thieves have condemnation. Adulterers have condemnation. Drunkards have condemnation. You have condemnation if you're sinning in chapter 7. But when you come out of chapter 7 and the power of the cross of Christ and the power of the blood of the Lamb gets hold of you, and then your sins are forgiven. Righteousness comes to replace unrighteousness. A new life begins in you. It's only then, with that new life, you can say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And as the personal freedom the Lord wants every one of us to enjoy, it will come to you today. In John chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus says unto Not unto them, not unto everybody. You know, there were people that caught the woman in adultery, in the very act. And all these were religious people, Sabbath keeping people. These were people that fasted twice in the week. These were people that paid tithes of all they had. These were people that said, I'm better than other people. They called the woman adultery. And then they brought her to Jesus. And in the presence of Jesus, they said, we caught this woman in adultery. Now the law of Moses says, anybody like that, we pick up the stone and we stone her to death. What do you say? And Jesus bent down and was writing on the ground. Because, you know, Jesus doesn't always answer questions that you ask about other people. He's only interested in questions you ask about yourself. He's not interested in answering questions of the Pharisees that condemn others and justify themselves. And so he was writing on the ground. But he kept on saying, what do you say? What do you say? And Jesus looked up and said, whosoever among you that doesn't have any sin, let him pick up the first stone and cast at her. And they began to look at their lives. Get the point, get the point, get the point. They had condemnation. They had condemnation. You will have condemnation if you are living in sin. Don't tell me there's no condemnation for me. You have condemnation if you're an adulterer, if you're a fornicator, if you're a secret sinner, if you're a secret rogue, thief, you have condemnation. Who tells you you don't have condemnation? Just singing it does not take the condemnation away. Sinners have condemnation. Backsliders have condemnation. They had condemnation one after the other, from the youngest to the oldest, from the lowest to the highest, from the poorest to the richest. They had condemnation, and they all went away. But this woman was left in the midst, and Jesus said, where are those that accuse us? Has no man condemned you? And she said, no man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, not unto them. All those people that went away in condemnation, he did not say to them, but he said unto her, unto this woman, neither do I condemn you. There's no condemnation for you now, because there's forgiveness. Because when you repent and you turn away from your sin, then the mighty power of the Lord will come upon your life and take all the sins away, and it sets you free. And now you can say, the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the power and the bondage of sin, the law of sin and death. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Personal freedom. And can you say that you're enjoying that personal freedom from sin? Personal freedom from slavery and servitude. Personal freedom from self. Self is dethroned. Self is buried. Self is crucified. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and he died for me. Freedom from sale, freedom from sorcery. You know, every night being oppressed and pressed down, there is this personal freedom. They can touch others, but not you. They can oppress others, but not you. They can hinder others, but not you. They can block the way for all the people, but not you. Personal freedom. And personal freedom from secret society. You know, there are people, they might have freedom from sin, and they say, I don't steal anymore. I don't commit adultery anymore. But there are powers that be. They may hinder your pregnancy. They may hinder even your regular period as a woman. Or they can hinder your progress in business. And you walk and walk and walk and you get nowhere. But thank God you came for celebration. I said you came for celebration. The Lord sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head, and then my cup runs over. Your cup will run over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Celebration time has come. I said celebration time has come, because the God of peace shall boost Satan under your feet shortly. Celebration time has come. And whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, and that wicked one touches him not. Celebration time has come. Behold, I give unto you power over the power of the enemy. And then it says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Celebration time has come, because this sign shall follow them that believe. Now I'm a believer. I tell you, I said I'm a believer. I said I am a believer. And this sign shall follow me, because I believe. In his name I will cast out devil. And then if I drink any deadly sin, whatever those concussions those people put together and they put in your food, if you drink any deadly sin, it shall not hurt you. And then it says you lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. Celebration time has come. Freedom from sin. Freedom from self and slavery and servitude. Freedom from sorcery. And freedom from secret society, freedom from snares and spirits. And thank God, freedom from Satan, the old serpent. We're free. We're looking at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'm reading from verse 6. In Romans chapter 6, reading from verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Free. Free. Free indeed. We're looking at verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. The people who oppose holiness are not free. The people who fight holiness are not free. That's exactly the reason why they fight it. When you talk about adultery, it makes them feel uneasy. That's why they fight it. When you talk against fornication, it makes them feel uneasy. That's why they fight it. When you talk about stealing church money, they feel uneasy. That's why they fight it. When you talk about exam malpractice, they fight it. That's why they feel uneasy, because they know they are into it. When you talk against pornography, they fight it, because the more you talk about it, the more they feel condemned, uneasy. That's why they fight it. But if you have holiness, you'll rejoice when holiness is preached. If you're free, free indeed, free from sin, free from crime, free from iniquity and immorality, you'll enjoy it. You'll not fight it because you're free. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. I pray every one of us will have it. Why don't you give me headquarters? Amen. In Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. From verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. You cannot look for the blessed hope if you are not free from sin. You cannot look for the time of the rapture if you are not living righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. In fact, every time we talk about the rapture, you say, Lord, don't come now. I'm not through yet. I'm not living right. Every time we talk about heaven, you'll be getting afraid. You say, I hope it doesn't take place now. Every time you hear about somebody died, and they died suddenly, the house collapsed, and they died, your heart will beat, you'll be terrible panic because, you're not free. It's like when you hear the siren of the policeman. If you're a criminal on the side of the road, your heart will beat. But they're not blowing the siren for you. They're just going their way and clearing the way for themselves. But the siren will make you panic, make you afraid, make you have high blood pressure. And the same thing, if you're living in sin, when you hear about righteousness, about holiness and godliness, and about going to heaven, accident took place somewhere, somebody died, you'll panic. But when there is holiness and you are free, you'll be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Number one, promised freedom. Number two, personal freedom. Number three, permanent freedom. For true children of God. Permanent freedom for true children of God. In Genesis chapter 5. And let's see examples of those who are free permanently. Genesis chapter 5 verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. In verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Rapturable Enoch. He was raptured because he had continual, complete, consistent righteousness and freedom from sin. Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. I'm reading from verse 7. Genesis chapter 39, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused. That man was free from sin. He was not a worker in a church. Oh, lady, madam, I cannot do that. If my church hears that, they will discipline me. You're not free. You're not free. You don't leave sin for church because of church. Because they will discipline me. Madam, I cannot do that. If I do that, I will lose my job. You're not free from sin. You're not avoiding sin because you lose your job. You lose your position in the church. You will lose the privilege, the opportunity you have in church. That's not the reason you are avoiding sin. You avoid sin because you're free. Say, no, I can't do that. I'm not that kind of person. I'm a child of God. A true child of God. Permanent freedom for true children of God. You know, the man did not say, Madam, I'm sorry, I cannot do that. I just read in, you know, all those papers now, there's HIV AIDS. And I'm afraid if I commit sin with you, I might have HIV AIDS. Maybe you're not free from sin. You're not running from fornication because of HIV AIDS, really. Oh, I would have done it, but for HIV AIDS. Because, you know, I don't know what you're doing with your husband and what disease your husband has. And if I do anything with you, I might also catch the disease. You're not free from sin. You see, Joseph was not refusing because of the fear of catching AIDS, or because of the fear of losing his job, or because of the fear of being detected and disciplined. He just will not commit sin. Look at verse 8. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not, knoweth not, what is with me in the house. And he has committed all things that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then? There's the reason they will not commit sin. These are the people who are free and free indeed. These are the true children of God. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You're in your place of work. And I say, man that is running after as a lady. And then he says, why don't you marry me? Well, you know, I'm a worker in our church, Deeper Life. And if my church knows that I'm kind of eating with you and playing with you and all that, you know, we have some members of our church working in this company as well. They'll go and report me in our church. And if they report me, they might, you know, sometimes in our church, they'll tell you to stand up and, you know, confess what you have done to the congregation. I'm afraid of that. Maybe you are not free from sin. You're not running away from sin because somebody is going to report you. You're not running away from sin because if you're found out, they might, you know, make you come and confess before the public. That's nothing. How many people are living in sin and we don't know about it? And they don't come before the public to report, to confess anything. If you are free from sin, you are free because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. And then you say, I'm a true child of God. Whether the church will know or not, whether they will discipline us or not, whether they will take the job away from us or not, I cannot do that. And you know, there are people that because of discipline, and they go beyond committing sin and they do some other things. When they have committed sin, and they know that if the church knows, the leadership of that church will discipline them. So after they have committed a sin, they begin to do some things to intimidate the leader in their local church. So that if that leader eventually knows that they have gone into sin, he will not have the guts, he will not have the courage, he will not have the stamina, he will not have the boldness to be able to challenge them. That's why they do what they do. But such people will just go to hell by an express way. There will be nothing to hinder you getting to hell. You go to hell by express way. You have committed sin, and then you are doing some bad, funny things to cover up that sin so that nobody will be able to call you to repentance. You are going to hell through the express way. But when you are a child of God, and you know that you have got this freedom from sin. Anywhere you go, whatever that madam is telling you, you'll say, no, I am sorry, I cannot do that. I am a child of God. I am not an Egyptian. I just came over, I'm just walking here. This world is not my home. There is another home. There's another place that I'm dreaming about. Because if they have loved the country from whence they came out, they might have had cause to go back. But because they seek a better country, you have a better country, you tell them like Joseph, I am not of this place, and I cannot just do anything. He refused. And then we're told, he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? I pray you'll be free. I said you'll be free. And when you're free, we don't have to police you. We don't have to be running after you. We don't have to be checking up on you. Is he living right? Is he not living right? Is he stealing church money? Is he not stealing church money? Is he committing adultery? Is he not committing adultery? Is he trying to marry an unbeliever? Is she trying to marry an unbeliever? We'll not be policing you. You'll be a police to yourself. You'll be a check for yourself. You want to get to heaven. And you're not in church because of pastor. You're not in church because of anybody. You don't have any other objective. The only objective you have is that when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise and the saints go marching in, you want to be among the number. You know that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's why you are in church. You are not in church for me. You're not in church for them. You're not in church for them. You're in church for yourself. So that at that day, when only the people who are free from sin, only those people get to heaven, you'll be counted among the number. And I pray you'll be among the number. In 1 John chapter 5, we're looking at verse 18. 1 John 5, verse 18. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. He will not touch you again. In Galatians 5, I'm reading from verse 1. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore. Because of the promises, stand fast, therefore. Because of the presence of Christ in you, stand fast, therefore. Because of the power of the cross that now works effectively in you, stand fast, therefore. Because of the goal you have, the purpose you have, that you want to get to heaven eventually, stand fast, therefore. Because of the privilege that is reserved only for the people that are free from sin, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. That's permanent freedom. A freedom that you've got at one time of faith in Christ. And then a freedom that carries on and goes on. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty and the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again. Do not be entangled again. Be free and remain free. Be released and remain released. Be delivered and remain delivered. Be free from sin permanently, so that you are not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And as you pray today and say, Lord, freedom. This freedom, you have it from Christ and through Christ. And then you keep on living in that freedom. And it doesn't matter where you are, in the village or in the city, in the school or in the corporation, at the university or in a college, in your country or in a foreign land. that as the Lord sets you free, you remain free. Free and never to be bound again. It can happen. I said it can happen. Why don't you rise up and make it happen? Make it happen. It happened to Enoch. Let it happen to you. It happened to Joseph. Let it happen to you. It happened to Nehemiah. Let it happen to you. It happened to Daniel. Let it happen to you. It happened to Samuel. Let it happen to you. It happened to John the Baptist. Let it happen to you. It happened to Joshua. Let it happen to you. Permanent victory. Permanent victory. It happened to Caleb. Let it happen to you. It happened to John the Beloved. Let it happen in your life. Freedom. The promised freedom. Freedom. Personal freedom. Freedom. Permanent freedom. If you don't pray now, you're not going to have that freedom. And he said, let the people that are free, only those people will get to heaven eventually. Not just those who come to church. Not just those who hear messages. Not just those who come to crusade. Not just those who come to meetings. But those who say, I will be free, not because of pastor, I will be free, not because of fearing church discipline, I will be free, not because my husband will almost tear me to pieces if he hears that I do such, I mess up my life, no, I will be free. Not because my wife was not here that I mess up my life, I will be free. Not because I'm afraid of standing before the church and making confession, I will be free. Not because of the shame and the reproach that members of the church will give me if they discover how I'm living, I want to be free. Because I want to get to heaven. Because I want to serve the Lord in all sincerity. I want to be free. Practical freedom. Personal freedom. Permanent freedom. Freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that walk in the Spirit by the Spirit, and not in the flesh, for the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. Free. Free. Free indeed. Free from fornication. Free from adultery. Free from stealing. Free from fighting. Free from crime. Free from breaking the law. Free. Free from stealing church money. Free. Free from witchcraft. Free from sorcery. Free. Totally free. Completely free. Permanently free. Free in public and free in private. Free in your soul. Free in your heart. Free your mind. Free. The freedom of the children of God. The freedom of true children of God. Free from sin. Free from sin. Free from sin. Every form of sin. Let him set you free. The power of Christ. in our lives. If Christ lives in you, he sets you free. If you are not free from sin, you cannot get to heaven. If you are not free from sin, you cannot get to heaven. Freedom. 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 Freedom from sin. Free. Free from slavery. You are not a slave to alcohol. You are not a slave to drugs. You are not a slave to men or women. You are not a slave to an harlot. You are not a slave to crime. You are not a slave to a gang. Free. Free indeed. Let the power of Christ break every yoke of slavery and servitude away from your life and be free. And then you stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Free from self. Free from pride. Free. Free from the inbred sin. Free from the original sin. Free. Free indeed. Let him set you free. Let him set you free. True salvation, true conversion gives us freedom from sin. Sanctification gives us freedom from that inward sin, inbred sin, original sin, breaks the power of sin from our lives. Freedom. Freedom. Practical freedom, not theoretical freedom. You tell the Lord, is that kind of freedom that gives you holiness without which no man shall see the Lord? Freedom from hypocrisy. Freedom from insincerity. Freedom. And you are getting free for yourself, for your own sake. You're not getting free because of any other person, because of the church. You are getting free for your own sake, so you can get to heaven. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You are not getting free just because your wife will be happy. You are getting free so you can get to heaven. You are not getting free so your husband can be happy. You are getting free so you can get to heaven. You are not getting free so that the church, the leadership in the church will be happy. You are getting free because you want to get to heaven. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Being made free from sin, you have your fruit unto God. And then you live in holiness of heart, holiness of life. That's the promise of the Lord. Promised freedom. Promised freedom. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Open the door. Let that Son of God come in. Behold, I stand on the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and he opens the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him. They're coming into you and make you free. Come into your life and make you free. In all the other locations, really pray. And over here, you commit yourself to the Lord. This is the one kind of freedom that takes us to heaven. Freedom from sin. Freedom from sin. Freedom from sin. Tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be free. I hold on to your promise to be free. The promise freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.